Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Decatur City Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, we would love it if you would take just a moment to download the Decatur City Church app, where you can find access to all of our recent message content. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy the following presentation, and I hope it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin.
Man, I tell you what, that is without a doubt, my favorite Christmas song of all time. It may be my favorite song of all time. I've got a confession to make. It's not uncommon for Laurie or the kids to catch me whistling or humming the melody to that song in July. I mean, I love it. It's a little awkward in the grocery store, you know, when you're whistling that song and everybody's looking at you, but it's incredible all the time. But guys, at Christmas time, that song is just amazing. Because that song reminds me of everything that I love about this season. I mean, it just reminds me of the anticipation that kind of is built into the Christmas season, the excitement that is in the air. There's a twinge of hope, maybe new hope for you, because the new year is right around the corner and we're excited about what may unfold in this next year. And this song just kind of conjures up all kinds of emotions for me. But the one thing it reminds me of the most is the one word that I think best describes Christmas. And it's a word that we've been unpacking over the last couple of weeks, if you've been with us here at Decatur City, and that word is wonder. I just think that wonder describes Christmas better than anything else. There's just a wonder in the air at Christmas time. The houses on your street look amazing, right? I mean, even the ugly ones look great, decorated for Christmas. Your house never looks better than it does at Christmas time. Your calendar, if it's like mine, it's filled with people and places to go, and you're hopeful that there's presents to open, right? Kids, you're wondering, Santa Claus gonna come tonight? You're excited, probably already thinking about how you're not gonna sleep and what's gonna be under the tree in the morning. Adults, maybe you're wondering, like I am, can I watch Elf just one more time, you know, before it's too late? And it just describes Christmas, which really shouldn't surprise us, because from the very beginning, wonder was built into the Christmas story. When you read the Christmas story, there are so many things to wonder. There are so many things to think about. And tonight, or this morning, I just want us to read through the Christmas story one more time together. And I want you to pay attention with me to all of the things that there are to wonder about in this story. Now, whether you grew up in church or not, or whether maybe this is your first time ever walking in to a church service, I bet this story is at least a little familiar to you. You've probably heard this story. You may not have known, though, that this story is in our New Testament. It's actually written by a guy who lived at the same time is Jesus. His name is Luke. And I love Luke's writing, because Luke wrote so that we could have a firsthand account, so that we could understand the life of Jesus. And so he gives us what we call our Christmas story, but really it's the story of the birth of Jesus. And listen as Luke tells us the story. He says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for this census." And I love the detail that Luke works into the beginning of this story, because while there are a lot of things to wonder, as we're going to see, we don't have to wonder when this story took place, because he gives us enough detail that we can compare his story to the story of history. And we can look back and we can say that because of history, this story unfolded sometime between 4 BC and 1 AD, because that's when Quirinius was governor the first time of Syria, and that's when he would have taken this first census, and that's when people would have returned to their own town. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, which was David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And this is where my imagination starts to get the better of me. And this is where I start to have all kinds of questions, and to where I begin to wonder. I wonder what Mary and Joseph were thinking. You see, what we know is that about 9 months prior to this trip back to Bethlehem, Mary was told she was going to have a child. But the kicker was, this wasn't just going to be an ordinary child, and it wasn't going to be Joseph's child. This was going to be God's son. This was going to be God's child, and he was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And now they're on their way to register for the census. And I have to imagine their life has just been kind of chaotic over the last couple of months. And my mind begins to think, what are they wondering? I mean, maybe they're wondering simple things. Maybe Joseph wasn't as much of a gentleman as we give him credit for. And maybe he's wondering, why does she get to ride on a donkey and I have to walk? This is a long trip. Maybe she's wondering, he better not be thinking why I'm riding and he's walking because I'm obviously pregnant. Their minds are probably racing. They probably have all kinds of questions, but maybe they're thinking some more serious things. Maybe they're wondering what their future is going to be like. Maybe they're having doubts about this baby. Maybe they're wondering if anybody will actually believe their story. And while they were there, while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him in strips of cloth and she laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And I can almost hear them silently wondering together. Parents, you remember that moment when you first held your baby? Remember all the things that you were thinking, all the questions you had? Well, imagine if you were looking down at your child and you were wondering, is this really God's son? Is our baby gonna save the world? Is this the hope of the world? Is this how this story is supposed to unfold? We're in a barn. And that same night, Luke tells us there were shepherds and they're staying in fields nearby and they're guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified because that's what you and I would be. If an angel showed up and the radiance of the glory of the Lord surrounded us, we would be terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And at this point, my mind starts running wild. Or what are all the questions the shepherds must have? What all are they wondering? The shepherds were the down and outers of their day. They were the outcasts. That's why they were shepherds. They didn't have any stature in their society. Their opinion didn't matter. They have to be wondering, why us? Why are you telling us this incredible news? This is news for the religious elite. This is news for somebody else. Why do we have this honor? And what is going on? The Messiah is here? And it's a baby in a barn? We're waiting on a king in a palace. What do you mean? Why, this story doesn't make sense. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Not because they believed the angels, probably more because they thought there's no way this could be, and we have to go make sure it's not true. So they hurried to the village, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph. And there, sure enough, was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And I love the way Luke wraps this up. But Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she pondered them, and she thought about them often. I love that word. She pondered. Because there's a lot to ponder in this story. There's a lot to wonder in this story. This story leaves us with as many questions as it does answers. But as is so often the case, this story is so much bigger than what it appears. You see, this story is bigger than Mary. This story is bigger than Joseph. This story is bigger than some shepherds. This story is the story of a nation who's been wondering. This story is the story of a nation who's been waiting on a night like this. You see, this is the story of a nation who at one time had walked with God like none of us have ever walked with God. They had seen God do the miraculous to the point that the miraculous had become the mundane. They had watched God do things that you and I could only imagine. They walked with him. They talked with him. He made a promise and he fulfilled that promise. But now all of that has stopped and God has been silent. And for 400 years, they lived in the silence. For 400 years, generations had been born and generations had passed. Generations had been born and generations had been passed. For 400 years, they had waited on God to fulfill the promise that a Messiah would come, that a king would come, that the hope of the world would arrive, and finally there would be peace for all. And for 400 years, God had been silent. So when you've been wandering and you've been waiting and you've been wondering for 400 years, there's not much else to do but to ponder. Because there's no way you're going to get too excited. There's no way you're going to allow your hopes to get up because a baby is in a barn. You see, we look at this event and it feels like an exclamation mark for us, right? It feels like God has finally showed up. God has finally fulfilled his promise and Jesus is here and it feels like the end. But that's because we know the whole story. You see, it took time for Jesus to become, well, Jesus. He was just a baby at this point. Sure, eventually he would begin to heal people. Sure, eventually the crowds would begin to grow. Eventually he would begin to perform miracles. And eventually their question would change from, I wonder if God is ever going to show up, to I wonder if Jesus is God showing up. And just when they thought it couldn't get any better, just when the most people believed in him, when the crowds were at their greatest, when even his enemies were convinced that he might actually be the Son of God, the unthinkable happened. He was betrayed. He was arrested. And he was tried. And he was beaten beyond belief. And he was hung on a cross. And he died. And they took his broken and his bloodied and his beaten body off of the cross, and they set it in a tomb. And for 3 days, they were left to wonder again. But now they were wondering, did we miss it? Now they were wondering, was he not really who we were told he was? Did we get it wrong? And for 3 days, God was silent again. And then the unimaginable happened. The impossible happened. Jesus got up out of the grave. He got up out of the tomb. He walked out of the tomb and he showed himself to everybody. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And you see, the resurrection is what made Christmas, Christmas. The resurrection is what made good news. It will bring great joy available to all people. But you have to understand, none of that was clear on this night. None of that had happened yet. None of that made sense to them. There was no way they were going to get their hopes up. There was no way they were going to believe too fast. So you know what they did? They watched. They waited. They began to pay attention to him. They began to wonder about him. They began to ask questions about him. They began to wander with him while they wondered about him. They weren't sure that Jesus actually mattered. They weren't sure that he was actually going to make a difference. So they gave following Jesus a try. They weren't sure that they should give their life or devote their life to following him. So they began to try following him. And they pondered. And they wondered, and they watched, and they waited. And the more they wandered with Jesus, the more they wondered about Jesus. And the more they wondered about Jesus, the more they began to wander with Jesus. And instead of wandering this way or that way in search of anything, they began to focus their attention on following Jesus. And as they wondered about him, they wandered with him. My question for you and my question for me this morning is, this season, what if we took that same approach? You know, it dawns on me, it took about 33 years, because that's how long Jesus walked on earth. It took about 33 years for the first Christmas to become the first Christmas. It took wandering with Jesus and wondering about Jesus to foster a relationship with Jesus. It took wandering with Jesus and wondering about him to get to know him and to begin to trust him. And sure, we have the full story. We know how the story ends, but sometimes I think the ending can get in our way. Because sometimes I think we approach this story and we think we have to believe every single thing about this story from the very beginning in order for the story to matter for us. But you see, that's not what the first followers had. They didn't have the full story. They didn't know if he was going to make a difference. So they wondered about him. But while they wondered about him, they wandered with him. So this morning, if you find yourself here this Christmas, coming to the end of another year, wondering what next year is going to be like, wondering what it's going to have in store for you, wondering like Mary wondered, wondering like Joseph wondered, wondering like the shepherds wondered, if you find yourself sitting here this morning with more questions than answers or more doubts than certainties, I just want to invite you this year, this season, what would it look like in your life to wander with Jesus while you wondered about him? And our commitment to you, my commitment to you, if this is your first time here, you've never been here before, this is a safe place. We created this community. We designed this place so that you could do that, so that you could have a space where you could wonder about Jesus while you wandered with him for a bit. And what do you have to lose? If you find yourself wondering about this child, what child is this? Who is this baby that seemingly split time, that split heaven and earth wide open, that we've sung so much about, that we talk so much about, that so many people celebrate? Who is this child? Who is he? And more specifically, who is he to me? If you find yourself in that place, we'd love to invite you to simply wander with Jesus while you wonder about him. Let me pray for you guys. Father, we love you so much. Father, the fact that we can even say that, it speaks to how much you love us. God, we don't have to wander aimlessly. We don't have to wander without direction. We don't have to wander without hope, because you sent Jesus, the wonder of it all. You sent your son to be our savior, to be our king, to provide us with the hope and the peace that we have so desperately long for. God, as we seek you, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us through your son, that we may have a relationship with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, once again, thanks for listening. If you live in or near the city of Decatur, we would love for you to attend one of our weekend gatherings at Decatur City Church. For information, service times, and information about our fabulous children's environments and our student environments, visit us at DecaturCity.org. That's DecaturCity.org.